Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 7. This is the reading of God's Word. And while some were talking about the temple, that it was adorned with beautiful stones and votive gifts, he said, "As for these things which you are looking at, the days will come in which there will not be left one stone upon another, which will not be torn down." They questioned him, saying, "Teacher, when, therefore, will these things happen? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. We thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word so our faith will grow. O Father, let us live for your glory. Let us, no matter how much we have to suffer and be lonely, let us be faithful to your word. Father, we pray that your word will be preached correctly and all of us not only hear but understand and also believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and we pray that you will receive all the glory. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ is accomplishing the kingdom of God. And today and next time will be introduction to this topic that we're on, which is the end times. It is very important for us to understand biblically this topic of end times. Otherwise, you're going to be so confused of what our Lord Jesus Christ will telling us in our section all the way to verse 38. Well, we'll begin with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17b. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature or new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." This verse is not just talking about our individual salvation, one becoming a new man, but it is also talking about the cosmic new creation that our Lord Jesus Christ has been accomplished. So what does it mean that our Lord has accomplished the kingdom of God? Well, it means the kingdom of God begins. But it also means that this world is passed away and heaven has come. We say it so many times before, but Jesus Christ accomplishes the kingdom of God in two stages. And I want to explain that as best as I could today and next time, because I really believe this is so important for all of us to understand this. Jesus accomplishes the kingdom of God spiritually, meaning not visibly, at his first coming. And then at his second coming, he will consummate all things visibly. It also means that the destruction of this world is also in two stages. At his first coming, the destruction of this world already begun. But at his second coming, the destruction will be visibly consummated. The meaning of his first coming can be said in so many ways. To say it in terms of what we are looking at today, it means that the kingdom of God has begun and the destruction of this sinful world also has begun. The heaven is beginning and the end of the world is also beginning. The Old Testament and the worldly things are ending. And in one sense, it has already ended. The kingdom of God comes as the end of this world begins. I mean, it's obvious. So if you only have the Old Testament without the New Testament, it's so hard to see. So that you will have the understanding that the world continues until Messiah comes, and he comes to establish the kingdom of heaven, and that's when the world will end. I mean, this is what worldly understanding is, right? The world continues until heaven becomes visible, then the world is gone, and only heaven remains. So it will be very simple to understand it that way. But when you come to Old Testament, you realize that Messiah not only comes once, but he comes twice. So he accomplishes this kingdom of God in two stages. That's what makes it things more complicated. So we need to understand that what has been accomplished at his first coming and what will be consummated visibly at his second coming. You got to have a clear understanding of this. Otherwise, what Jesus will tell you will be so confusing. Obviously, the kingdom of God comes as the end of this world begins. So if we say kingdom of God has been accomplished, then the destruction of the world also began. So how does the end of this world come? Jesus answered that question in Luke chapter 21, verse 5 through 38, the section that we're looking at for next probably 6-7 times. But today and next time will be the introduction to this topic of the end of times. And after that introduction, we will look at the passage from verse 8, verse by verse. So we begin verse 5 today. And while some were talking about the temple, that it was adorned with beautiful stones and votive gifts, he said, now, if you look at that verse, what we could see is that people are amazed at the grandeur and the beauty of the temple. In the worldly level, it is splendid and magnificent. They are admiring the temple in its great appearances. As you know, the temple was the focal point of Judaism. It was their pride and boasting. But we learn in the New Testament that the Old Testament temple was a type of the true temple that was to come. The Old Testament temple was not the eternal temple of God. The earthly temple with its world must pass away. And our Lord Jesus Christ is accomplishing a far greater, the eternal temple of God. John chapter 2, verse 19 and 21 through 22, Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. So when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remember what he said this, that he said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. Jesus Christ is the true temple. And we who are in Jesus Christ are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? See, in our book of Luke, we see that even when the true temple has come, Jesus Christ, the sinners are focusing on and being so proud of the earthly temple. This is so because their eyes are darkened by their sins. As they look at this huge temple, they even thought to themselves that God is pleased with it. It's just like today, big churches who are so proud of their buildings. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says this to the church of Laodicea. Verse 17, because you say, this big church, I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. Because you say that, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So some of these churches, they think they're so rich and so blessed. And yet Jesus says, you are miserable, poor, and blind and naked. Because it's not about beautiful buildings. It's not about how much money they have. The sinners who belong to this world boast the things of this world. That's what this world is all about. They boast of what they have and all the things that they could buy and all that. But our gospel, the true gospel is the gospel of heaven, not the good news of this world. We must do according to the Bible, which tells us what God is pleased with. We cannot follow the patterns of this world, even if this world does not accept, even if it is not popular in this world, even if to do so will not bring success in this world, we must do all according to the will of God that He revealed to us in the Bible. We move on to verse 6. As for these things, Jesus says, as for these things which you are looking at, the temple, right? The days will come in which there will not be left one stone upon another, which will not be torn down. Now, it will be more clear when we look at verse 7, but the temple here in our passage is used as the symbol of this world and the things of this world, not just temple itself. The old has passed away. The world is passing away. At the end, only heaven will remain. All the things of this world that people boast about will be torn down. All the beautiful things of this world will be torn down. Only heaven will remain, like I said before. And we need to remember that then heaven and the heavenly things are witnessed. Let me read that again. We need to remember that the heavenly and heaven and heavenly things are witnessed in this world. When it happens, their appearance are always insignificant to this world. And let me give you an example. Jesus Christ, He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And yet, He is born at the manger. His glory of heaven expressed in world as nothing. This is the principle that you must understand. And when we look at His death on the cross as we progress in the book of Luke, in heavenly terms, His dying on the cross is actually His being enthroned as the King of heaven. Because as soon as He dies on the cross, He will go up to heaven and He will sit at the right hand of God. So it is His death on the cross is inauguration of Jesus Christ being a king. But look at the difference, the reality of heaven, how it is expressed earthly. So the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is being born with animals. And this is the principle. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who create the whole universe, and when He came here and when He lived His life here, He didn't even have anything. He didn't even have a place to lay His head. And I don't know how many of clothing that he had. I don't think, not even two. Only what he has on himself. So why is this? Because this world is not heaven. The glory of heaven, when it is witnessed in this world, is always, to the worldly eyes, very, very insignificant. They will actually hate it. Because that's not what they desire. This is why the sinful world is not interested in heaven or heavenly things. This world rejects the true heaven. Jesus Christ, who is the chief cornerstone of the true temple, and all of us who are the living stones in Jesus Christ are rejected by the builders of this world. Jesus is, 1 Peter chapter 2, 7, the stone which the builders rejected. He is, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, a stone of stumbling and rock of offense. But Jesus and us, the living stones, are the choice and precious in the sight of God. The temple in our passage that the world is admiring is the temple that was being built at the time by the Herod the Great. The construction began in 19 BC and finished in 63 or 64 AD. But it was completely destroyed in 70 AD by Romans led by their military commander Titus, who became the Roman emperor later. The original temple, as you know, was built by the King Solomon, but it was destroyed by Babylonian army in 587 BC. Now, after coming back from Babylonian exile, it was rebuilt by Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah in 515 BC. And from 19 BC, it was rebuilt with much improvements by the Herod the Great. And we go to verse 7. They questioned him, saying, "Teacher, when therefore will these things happen? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" Now, when Jesus said that the temple will be destroyed completely, the disciple asked Jesus, "When will these things happen? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" When you read the book of Luke, it seems that the question is all about the temple. But when we look at the same event in the book of Matthew, we get more information. Matthew 24, verse 3. "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" So disciples and the Jews understood that the destruction of the temple and the end of the world are related. They actually believe that both come at the same time. But if you think about it, that answer, that understanding of these people were correct in some sense, but also incorrect at the same time, because of their misunderstanding concerning the end times. Now we see then Jesus' answer to their question in verses 8 through 38. Like I say, it will take us many weeks to look at them, but today and next time will be the introduction, and after that we'll look at verse by verse. Now, brothers and sisters, there are a few things that we must understand in order for us to understand Jesus' answer correctly. That's what I want to deal with today and next time, so that after you understanding these things, then you could handle the text way better. Guaranteed. Now, first question is this. How are we going to understand the prophecies of the Bible concerning the end times? Now, first thing is that we cannot and must not limit the prophecy to one particular event or one particular person in history that follows the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when you read prophecy in the Bible about end times, do not limit that prophecy to one particular person or one particular event in the future in history. Let me give you an example. In the book of Revelation, we see the coming of the Antichrist. Now, some people will say that the Antichrist is Pope, or it is Hitler, or any of all these people that they say that that's Antichrist, 666. So they limit the prophecy of the Antichrist to one particular person in history. We must not do this. Let me prove it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this, we know that it is the last hour. So at the time of 1 John being written, nearly 2,000 years ago, at that time, already many antichrists have appeared. And the antichrist of the book of Revelation has not yet appeared. So how can we limit that prophecy of antichrist as just one particular person in history? We can't do it. But that's what people do. So they will say 666 is so and so. But every time they did it, so far, they were wrong, right? So why would we keep listening to them? They're wrong. So we cannot limit the prophecy of the Antichrist to just one particular person in history. And it is like this. Every prophecy that you will read in the Bible. We must look at all the prophecies in the Bible the same way that we're going to look at, including Luke chapter 21. So let me summarize. Prophecy in the Bible is a symbolical summary of many similar events or many similar people put it together. Understand? So when you hear Jesus telling you that certain things will happen at the end, when you study history, many similar things will happen in history. So prophecy in the Bible is summary of all these similar events, put it together, and gave you as a one prophecy. This is how you understand. And even though they are a symbolical summary, you must understand that there are actual events and actual people in history. And here is how to understand the prophecies in the Bible. In future history, similar to those events that you will read in that prophecy will happen. But we must remember that those prophecies are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and the church, meaning the believers, are later participate in similar events. For example, the destruction of the temple. God will say, temple will be destroyed. Now you need to understand that prophecy is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, who is the true temple, On the cross, he is completely destroyed. So that prophecy first fulfills in Christ. Always like this. Then the church, the believers, are participating in the similar events in history. Please understand this. And when it is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, by him fulfilling it, he transformed the judgment into blessing. So though when church is participating in those similar events, it is not actual judgment anymore, it's actually blessing. Because we are called to be like Christ. But even non-Christians will participate in similar events. And I should not call that participation. But they will experience the similar events. But in that case, it's purely judgment. It's not blessing at all, even though it's same similar event. We need to do this. Otherwise, we will not get what the Bible is teaching us. You understand, Jesus is everything. He will fulfill every prophecy. And we'll go through those verses. Verse 8 through 38, and I will show you how all those things that Jesus says will happen is fulfilled in Christ. Then church will experience similar events in the history. Now, we must understand, and if you don't understand fully today, just wait until next time. I will be repeating many things. We must understand that the kingdom of God comes at Jesus' first coming, which means the end of times is also started with his first coming. And at his second coming, that reality will be visibly consummated. But as Jesus tells us what will happen at the end of times from verses 8 through 38, we see one event that happens right after Jesus' resurrection, but we also see another event that will happen at his second coming. The event that happens soon after Jesus' resurrection, the destruction of the temple. And the event that happens at the second coming of Jesus Christ, verse 27, then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. So understand this. As Jesus tells us what will happen at the end of times, he tells us of what happens between his first coming and his second coming. So when he tells us what will happen at the end of times, he tells us of what happens during the church age, which is the time between his first and second coming. The church age is the end times. Do you understand? We are living in the end times. This is biblical understanding. Worldly understanding, the end times is always at the future. But I will prove it to you next time. The Bible teaches that end times has already come at his first coming. Just like heaven has already come at his first coming. So, when you read about Jesus telling you what will happen at the end times, he's actually telling you what would happen during church age. This is why even those prophecies are closely related to you. It's actually your life, your reality. Like I said, anybody teaches you any portion of the Bible doesn't not relate it to you, well, then run. This is the eternal Word of God. Every portion of this Word is about Christ, and because of that, it's about you. So when you read chapter 21, as Jesus tells us what will happen at the end, you will realize all these things, they happen during the church age. That's how you understand the prophecy. Prophecies concerning the end times, that is. I mean, obviously. We will look at this in more detail, like I said, next time. At his first coming, the end time began, and it will be visibly consummated at his second coming. If we have only the Old Testament, it is hard to understand the accomplishment of the kingdom of God happens in two stages. And also, the end of world comes in two stages. If we only have the Old Testament, many will misunderstand that the kingdom of God is accomplished all at once, thus the end time comes all at once also. But when we study New Testament, it is very clear the kingdom of God is accomplished spiritually at his first coming, and we have to wait until his second coming for visible consummation. The kingdom of God is visibly consummated through a long period of time, through the church age, the time between Jesus' first and his second comings. That period, the period between his first and the second coming, is the end times, according to the Bible. The end times, or the end of the world. And let us look at one verse, and next time we will look at more verses, but let us look at one verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Paul says, "Now these things happen to them as an example." Them meaning Old Testament people. So whatever that happened in the Old Testament, these things happen to them as an example. Actually, word is a type. And they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So understand, at the time of 1 Corinthians being written, namely 2,000 years ago, Paul and the people who lived at that time, upon them, the Bible says, the ends of the ages have come. So 2,000 years ago, the ends of ages have come already. So when you understand what Jesus tells you, what would happen at the end, don't think that it's always in your future. It happened in the past, and it is happening even today. Brothers and sisters, this is very, very important because Bible, most of it is actually dealing with the end times. Even in the Old Testament, it's a type showing us what would happen when Jesus comes, which means when end time comes. So we must understand the concept of time according to the Bible. The ends of the ages have come at Jesus' first coming. Thus, the end times is the period between Jesus' first and his second coming. From the destruction of the temple to the destruction of this sinful world. From the spiritual consummation to the visible consummation. The end times is the whole church age. And you and I, we are living in the end times, according to the Bible. Luke chapter 21 is written for all those who believers who are living in between Jesus' first and his second comings. The end times began with Jesus' death and his resurrection. For you and for me, Jesus' death on the cross is the last judgment of God. Thus, we see the preview of Jesus' second coming in history 2,000 years ago. The last judgment of God supposedly happened at the very end. But 2,000 years ago, we see our last judgment of God when Jesus dies on the cross, signaling the end has already come. And if we don't believe that, then we're still in sin. Jesus actually received the last judgment of God that we're supposed to receive at the end of history. Meaning, it already happened 2,000 years ago. The end of history has already happened 2,000 years ago. And we are living at the end times. When we see Old Testament, it tells us that at the end, the heaven will be open and the sun and moon will lose their lights. And the earth will shake and the dead will arise. When Jesus died on the cross, the curtain in the temple was torn in half, signaling the opening of heaven. And when he was resurrected and ascended into heaven, he witnessed the heaven has been indeed opened. This is not to say that the Old Testament saints were not in heaven already. And Luke chapter 23, verse 44, it was now about the sixth hour. The darkness fell over and whole land until the ninth hour. Sun and moon, do you see it, lost their lights? Just like Old Testament says, when the end comes, sun and moon will lose their lights. Matthew chapter 27, verse 51 and 52. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. And tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. That's what happened when Jesus died on the cross. The things that the Old Testament said will happen at the end times already happened when Jesus died on the cross. And Jesus is resurrected from the dead to witness that end time has come, because the resurrection supposedly happened at the end, but already happened in the midst of history to signal the end time has come. He was resurrected from the dead. The final judgment and resurrection already happened. Do you see it? But the visible final judgment, we have to wait until his second coming. That's when non-Christian will be judged. But the spiritual final judgment of God already happened. And when I say spiritual, I'm just saying it's not visible. It wasn't visible that you and I were being judged when Jesus died on the cross. But that's what it happened. Brothers and sisters, in the midst of history, then, we see clearly in the Bible, that's what the Bible is witnessing to us, that the end has come. This is why you need to live in terms of end already being come, already happened. This is why you live as if this world is nothing to you, because it's passing away. This is how you must live. You must live according to the Bible. Bible tells you what happened and what is your reality. You're living in the end times. That's why he could come today. He could come tomorrow. So you live every single day. You know it's the last days. This is how you live. And obviously this world will think that is so stupid. But when do we care about what the world says about us? I really don't care. We'll see what happens when Jesus actually comes back. Now then, I'll just end this today and we'll continue next time. Then how are we who live in between the first and the second coming of Jesus Christ, who live during the church age, who live in the end times, how are we to live then? Well, we're going to get the answer from the whole section. Verse 8 says, see to it that you are not misled. Jesus warns that end times, many false teachers will come into the church. So see to it that you are not misled. Verse 9, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but at the end does not follow immediately. So Jesus told us that it will take some time from spiritual beginning to the visible end. But don't think that just because you don't see it, that it did not happen, that it did not begin. It did. Verse 19, by your endurance you will gain your lives. So we need to endure, because that passage will tell us that there will be so much persecution and so much sufferings and at the end times, meaning during church age. So when you study the church history last 2,000 years, oh, there are so many believers who went through sufferings and persecution, even death. Just like Jesus said that these things will happen at the end. It will happen. Guaranteed, because Jesus promised. But not all sufferings will happen same way or in, you know, every generation, same sufferings. No, sometime it will be more severe. Sometimes it will not be. But I keep telling you, don't worry too much, because God says God will not let you test it beyond what you could bear. So if a severe judgment, or severe for us, it's not even judgment, but if a severe persecution comes, I don't think we could handle it, so don't worry. God says, I will only let it happen if you are able to handle it. But it's so sad. If your life is so easygoing, that means God considers you cannot even handle just a little bit of difficulty. So it's so easy, because that's all you can handle. But what is worse is that Christians misunderstanding what God is telling us, and their whole focus is avoid those sufferings. That's their life goal, to avoid those sufferings. But again, God will not let you be tested beyond what you can bear. So don't worry too much. Verse 34, be on guard. Verse 36, but keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The end times, according to Luke chapter 21, The lives of Christians are all about persecutions, sufferings, and even death because of their faith in Christ. Now, we're going to deal a little bit about this next time, but if Jesus is indeed the King, and indeed the heaven, the kingdom of God has come already, and we are already citizens of it, then why do we need to receive so much suffering and persecution? Well, we'll deal with that in more detail, but let me just give you this. Because we are called to participate in the life of Christ. Because the life of Christ was all about sufferings and persecutions and even death. So if you put these pictures of church, for throughout the whole church age, there are church suffering and church being persecuted, church even being, you know, put to death. You put all these pictures together, all of church pictures together. And if you do that, what are you going to see? You will see Jesus Christ. That's what church is all about. To be like Christ and to participate in his life. But when you look at the glory of heaven, oh, you cannot even compare that with the sufferings of this world. The sufferings of this world compared to the glory of heaven is absolutely nothing. John chapter 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. You know, Jesus does not even say in the world you may have tribulation. No, in the world you have tribulation. Promise. But rejoice because Jesus has overcome the world. Even as I prepare these sermons, and here I am preaching to you, I'm afraid that this kind of preaching or message is disappearing. Because people who love this world, they will hate this message. Why do they come to church in the first place? So that they could avoid these sufferings and persecutions, and so they could be rich, they could be healthy. And here I am just preaching to you that Jesus told us at the end times that these persecutions and sufferings and even death will come. But I just cannot change the message. Even if people don't want to hear it, I have to preach what the Bible tells me. But somehow, these sufferings, I mean, I have to be honest with you, I'm a little bit scared that if those things happen to me, I don't know if I could handle those things. But at the same time, I cannot get rid of this joy that I feel that I'm going to participate in the life of Christ. That through those suffering, I will witness Christ. And I will imitate Jesus Christ. So there's joy. And this joy, I have to say, overpowers the fear. But I'd be lying if I don't have fear. I do. Because I know how painful those sufferings and persecutions that our brothers and sisters experience. But I also know their joy as they were suffering. because of Christ. And the only way we could overcome is to have faith in Jesus Christ and have our eyes focused on our heavenly reality. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, and where I am, there you may be also. And there is one thing that is so clear when we look at our chapter, Luke chapter 21. And what is that? One thing that is so clear is that our sufferings will end. It's not forever. And we must believe that spiritually speaking, it is already ended. I know it's hard. But what, believing heaven is easy? It's about same difficulty. Believe, in one sense, all the sufferings and persecution has ended. That I am sitting at the right hand of God with Christ. And there's no suffering and persecution, but that is already my present spiritual reality. So spiritually speaking, you have to believe that even our suffering has already ended. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I really do. Because I love you. Because I want you to enjoy this joy that God also gives at the end times. Let us continue next time. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you giving us the knowledge and understanding and faith. Faith to believe what your word tells us. Oh Father, we thank you that we are living at the end times. And we thank you. That means we could see Jesus' face anytime. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, or it could be many years away from today. But Father, let us believe what has happened already and what has been accomplished already, so that we may enjoy the benefits of what Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us already. So that we could endure until we see you face to face. We thank you. We love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.